This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shah on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Okay, Sharp Money, Amal Shah, I'm Patrick Maher, Dustin Sweetles, and we're going to talk to a monster here, not just because he runs hot, but because this Fantasy Footballers podcast is unbelievable. So Jason Moore is going to join us here, and he does a podcast with Andy Holloway and Mike Wright. Okay, the Fantasy Footballers are going to be live in Los Angeles at the Palace Theater on August 26th. Limited seating remains, but you can check out more information and get a ticket at www.ballerslive.com. You can find the Fantasy Footballers on Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts, or just visit thefantasyfootballers.com. Jason Moore joins. Let's start with the genesis of all of this. Like, the idea of having a podcast that grows into such a monster that you're going to be doing a huge show in Los Angeles at the Palace Theater. Let's start with you and your boys and how the podcast originated. Hi, Jason.
Hi, how's it going? Yeah, it was kind of a rocket ship in the beginning. Originally, the podcast started just for our fantasy football league, just for those 12 people. But eventually we realized we feel like we know more than a lot of the other analysts out there. And so we wanted to kind of turn it outward. And when we did, it just took off like crazy. I think, you know, it was one of those things where we really tried to make sure that the production value was good, that we were entertaining because fantasy football is supposed to be fun, but also that we actually knew what we're talking about and help win leagues. And so that just kind of was a secret sauce that took off. And it's crazy to think how the last decade has gone.
Jason, obviously you had a tremendous interest and had success in it, but what do you think has been a key catalyst in terms of you guys just rising up so quickly and doing so well? Because I like one of the points you made was that you felt like you guys could do a better job than a lot of the analysts out there. And I think that's appropriate and applicable to probably a lot of people in a lot of different entities. But what was kind of the benchmark or the key point for you guys?
Yeah, I think it's just the genuine nature where we are. Our show, the fourth person at the table is the audience, and we have the same fun that you have. And, so as far as what was the catalyst, we wanted football when people weren't talking about football. And so there wasn't a show to listen to. So we just started in the off season 1 year, and people, turns out, they always like football. So we're a year round show. And I think that helped propel everything forward.
And we're talking to Jason Moore. He's got props we're going to get to as far as the NFL coming up in just a bit. The transition from the DFF sweats into proper betting, how has that been for you and the boys over at the Fantasy Footballers podcast? You're in Arizona. Arizona, have they legalized yet?
I try to keep up. Yeah,
so,
we're legal,
so talk us through that, Jason, because obviously fantasy was just a behemoth. And now as we start to regulate and legalize sports betting across the country, that is evening the playing field. Can you talk about the differences there with fantasy and just proper betting?
It was a couple of years ago. I think we're going into year three or four now of being legal in Arizona. It was a real battle here, like it was in a lot of states. But it became, you know, it was something where originally, you know, 5, 6, 7 years ago, we weren't playing DFS ourselves because we weren't allowed. We still had a DFS product and some people that, you know, to give advice. But it was really once it became legal that we got to participate ourselves, that we cared a lot, that we started building tools and resources and putting mind and focus towards that. And I think it was the third week of legal DFS around here where one of our hosts won the Millie Maker on one of the primetime games. So it's been a lot of fun.
Jason, if you bet, how do you distinguish sometimes? Because some of the betting can cross over into fantasy and vice versa. You might need A to happen. On the other side, you might need B to happen. Do you ever wind up in a situation where you kind of juxtapose in terms of what you need the result to be?
Oh yeah. I mean, if you play enough fantasy or you make enough bets, you can be on both sides and, you know, hedge your happiness sometimes, bet against your heart or bet with your heart. Just a matter of how sad or happy do you want to be? Those things will always end up happening if you just do it enough. But fantasy really does help, I think, the sports betting side, and, you know, it gives you so much more analytical insight into, it's not just like, I like this player, so I'm going to bet on him. It's kind of like, oh, I've statted out these players this way, and it looks like my lines are different than their lines, and I see where to bet.
So wait, hold up now. Dustin just texted me because I heard you say one of your boys won a milli. So the Milky Maker, that was a DraftKings contest, and we are a DraftKings entity, Jason. So one of your boys won a mil in a DFS sweat?
Well, unfortunately, he split it a bunch of different ways. But yeah, he did get first place in one of those primetime games. We are also, we've worked with DraftKings for many, many years now. So that's what we're playing every single week over here.
Love to hear it. Now, you're based out of Arizona, and your setup is sweet. Jason Moore joins us, the Fantasy Footballers podcast. Check them out, thefantasyfootballers.com. They got the live event coming up at the Palace Theater August 26th, ballerslive.com. Let's talk about the Cardinals. It's stacking up to be a long year for your boys there in the desert. Kyler Murray, who knows if we'll see him this year at all. New head coach, new regime. Give us an overview right now, the vibe there in Arizona on the Cardinals.
Well, to answer your question about who knows if we'll see Kyler Murray, I know. I know that we will absolutely see Kyler Murray. I'll put my name on that. The way that this team has treated the offseason here, the way that they've lifted Kyler up and made him their leader, his health right now, it's not going to last the entire season. I think there's a lot of fear where people are like, oh, they're going to want to tank. They're going to be bad in the first part, and then they'll just rest Kyler all year. I cannot imagine a world where that happens. The only way Kyler doesn't play is if he has a setback to his health. And I don't imagine that's going to happen, because in this modern day and age, recoveries are a normal process from the ACL he had. You know, the outlook for the team is gross. It's sucky. It is unfortunate. We don't have a lot of talent on the roster on either side of the ball. There are still some, good nuggets of gold to be mined. I think that, you know, we've got a backfield like with James Conner, who is really the only guy in town. They went and signed Marlon Mack, who was not that great in his own right. And then unfortunately he has an Achilles tear for the second time. So James Conner should be, you know, a pretty good betting asset and fantasy asset, because nobody wants to touch the Cardinals. The Cardinals are just, they got that stink on them right now. And sometimes that's where you can be all alone, betting on bad things.
And for good reason, Amal, just quickly, get your take, Amal, on this. They're 4.5 over at DraftKings. There is a 0% zero chance the Arizona Cardinals this year reach 5 wins if you want to go over that total.
I would have a hard time taking that, Jason. I don't know where you come out on that, but I just feel like when Kyler Murray gets back in the mix, I still think, listen, he's got his obviously detractors, and he's got certain areas where he's deficient. But I'll tell you what, you look back at that play he made against the Raiders in Vegas where he ran around for like 19 seconds or whatever it was, something absurd. He just has the ability at times to make plays, in my estimation, that could help this team in a couple of games.
Yeah, Kyler is a very good quarterback. You can say whatever you want about what his work ethic and does he study film enough, but he has still been a winner. It's hard to even imagine. It was only like 2 years ago when it looked like the Cardinals were Super Bowl bound. I believe they were 7-0. They were dominating teams. It wasn't that long ago. The wheels fell off, injuries happened, and now this is where we're at.
Props. Jason Moore, Fantasy Footballers. Let's start with Justin Herbert. Throws for over 4,700 yards last year, Jason. This year, you got him 4,300.5 on passing yards. My assumption is you're going over the posted total here for Herbert.
Yeah, this line just seems so silly to me. 4,300 yards, he beat that as a rookie. Then he went over 5,000 yards. Last year with broken ribs, he was 4,700 yards, and now they get Kellen Moore, the offensive coordinator that I think is a major upgrade over Lombardi. As of right now, you've got a healthy Keenan Allen, a healthy Mike Williams, which you didn't have last year, a pass catching running back in Austin Eckler. They add a first round wide receiver to the mix. How does he not hit 4,300? Well, he gets injured. But the thing is if you're going to bet on or against an injury, betting on, 17 games from Herbert is a pretty good bet, because he's not one of these guys risking himself a lot, and he's got the grit. He broke his ribs in week 2 last year. He missed 0 games. So unless he tears an ACL, he's going to be out there and he's going to beat 4,300 easily.
And this one here, when we look at it in terms of the over-under props, Raheem Mostert at 600.5 yard here. This is an intriguing one to me. Tell us where you come out and why on him.
Yeah, this one is a little bit scarier, but I still like the bet. I would take the under on Raheem Mostert there. And usually whenever you're betting before the season, I'm sure you guys know this and say this on your show all the time, if it's a running back, you want to take the unders because you've got built-in injury that just makes it a win. And Raheem Mostert has been injured a lot in his career. You know, he's coming into year 9 right now, and he's only beat this line 2 times in his career. One of them was last year. I will grant you that, but he's going to be 31 years old. He was worse once Jeff Wilson got to the team. Then they add a day 2 running back rookie, Devon Achane. So, you know, it's a bet against an older running back to stay healthy.
Okay, we've got more props. What we'll do is we'll put them up there for subscribers. VSiN.com/subscribe. Jason Moore and the crew, the Fantasy Footballers Podcast, again, going to be live in Los Angeles at the Palace Theater coming up on August 26th. Maybe I'll stop by and get myself an autograph from the boys. If you want to attend, it's ballerslive.com. And again, the Monster Podcast is the fantasyfootballers.com. Jason, appreciate the time, man, and good luck with the event. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Okay, there he goes, Jason Moore. You can find him on Twitter at JasonFFL. We've got our theme today with the college programs, and when we return, we're going to get exciting for you. We're going to go Tulsa next as we continue. Why not? In Georgia Southern, the big guy picks some bangers. We're excited for it. We continue. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check out the current betting splits data. If you want to know where the money and bets are moving for every game, the betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes, so you can see the changes in all the action, find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets, and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits are another way. VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game over at VSiN.com. The big guy, Dustin Sweetelson, sweating it out there at the South Point Studios in Las Vegas, along with Pretty in Peach today, the Prince, Amal Shaw, looking sharp. I'm Patrick Maher. As we welcome you back, got plenty to do. It's Wednesday. Scott Spreicher is going to join. Spreitzer's the best. I'll jock him a little bit. This is a dude that has been in Vegas for over 30 years. He did what I think a lot of people want to do. He's living in the middle of Nebraska, and he's growing up, and he grew up a gambler. His family was a gambler. As a matter of fact, I think one of his uncles was a legit jockey, riding horses, grew up around the track, and he just had his sights set on Vegas. Around 18 years old, Spreitzer moves out to Vegas, which, as you know, Amal, especially if you're moving out there for gambling aspirations, it's not easy to sustain. Spreitzer moves out there, and he's turned a career. Like, if you were back on the internet back in the days when, you know, sports betting became prevalent on the internet, I'm talking like 2000, 2001, 2002, 2003, where there was an amalgamation of sites. And I won't get into the names, but just sites that kind of shared handicappers. Spreitzer's name back in 2000, 2001, 2003, we're talking, 20 years now. He was on the legitimate sites where sites would use him to give picks because he was one of the legit guys amongst many shady ones. And we cultivated a relationship about a decade ago. And I got to tell you, the guy's so professional. You can tell what makes not just a professional human being and not a successful human being, regardless of vocation, but you can tell what makes, and you and I talk about lifestyle a lot, Amal, and just, you know, conditioning and scruples and what makes a person a person. Well, if you're a sports bettor, you have to be able to obviously control yourself. Emotionally, you have to have the right type of temperament. And Scott Spreitzer is a guy that's worked in now 30 plus years in sports betting and somehow profited. When we do his shots from home, he's nice enough to drive in pro bono. But when he do his shots from home, you can see behind him, it's a pretty nice pad. He's got a pool out in the back. So he's done well for himself. He's married with a child. He's done really, really well. His daughter goes to Reno. I guess what I'm trying to say is it's a lot of ups and downs. We've seen a lot of people come and go in that industry, and to kind of be able to stay medium and profit over 30 years is remarkable.
To quote you, a lot of people have he gone.
A lot of people.
So you're absolutely right. And I think a couple of things. Number one, the perseverance, no question about it. But I think for anybody that's looking to do that full time, the singular most important thing at the end of the day is discipline. Regardless of what it may be in whatever endeavor you're in, being disciplined. You know, Patrick, I talk about this all the time. I never understand in poker when people go on tilt. I mean, like, it's like in business. You're not going to throw good money after bad. So if you take a loss or you take two or three losses, you've got to be able to mentally sustain. It's not about the financial loss. It's more about how do you respond or rebound after you take a difficult beat.
Yeah, and chasing losses and going on tilt, more of a poker term, but can be applied. It's applicable to sports betting. The big guy's laughing.
Yeah.
For some reason, he finds this humorous. I'd like to know why.
Yeah, I'm asking for a friend, and definitely not me. Like, if someone isn't disciplined, how would you suggest they go about becoming it?
How they go about becoming it, that's a different challenge and scenario unto itself. But I would recommend this. If you're not disciplined, then stay the hell out of this industry.
Too late.
I would say what I reminded you on our conversation earlier today, I would remind you that pleasure is always followed by some sort of letdown, right? If you drink too much, you deal with the hangover. If you get involved with unsavory company, you wake up with guilt. You understand what I'm saying, big guy? Contentment is something that's sustainable. And so you can actually then parlay that, to use a term, over to sports betting. It's like if you're constantly just trying to get that rush out of it, which is oftentimes includes chasing bets or, you know, making up for losses, you're going to get an initial surge of adrenaline, but it's not going to be sustainable. You know, contentment, staying in your shoes, staying medium. I would say it's not part of your personality.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of that late Hawaii game to make up for things every Saturday night. Happy that's back in my life.
And that doesn't make you a bad person at all. Also, putting Tulsa on the rundown doesn't make you necessarily a bad person. Doesn't make you a great one, but let's talk about Tulsa. It's interesting when you talk about Tulsa because they're proximity-wise, they're close to Oklahoma. They're close to Oklahoma State. They're even close to Arkansas. They're kind of an interesting program where the expectations aren't crazy, but you can win there. And here comes Kevin Wilson, who most recently was running the offense. He's a great offensive guy at Ohio State. Before that, the head coach at Indiana. And this is our theme today, kind of taking a step back with a smaller program, but certainly a respectable program. And Tulsa is, it's an interesting program to look at because they don't have much history, but there has been pockets there. They can't seem to sync up offensively and defensively a balance year to year. But there's been some pops with this Tulsa program in the past, Amal Shah.
No question about it. Philip Montgomery there for 8 years previously. Now he's the OC over at Auburn. But you mentioned it. Kevin Wilson has history in the state. He was with Oklahoma during some of the heydays of Bob Stoops there in the early part of the 2000s. You mentioned it, not a great record at Indiana, 26-47. But it's hard to sometimes gauge a coach based on what they do at Indiana. And then there were some issues with some players there. That's why he ended up leaving the program there. But you mentioned it. This is a Tulsa team. You go back to 2016, they won 10 games. 2012, they won 11 games. So they've had some success. But we'll see if he can get things going in the right direction. Four starters back on the offensive side of the ball. Five starters back on the defensive side of the ball, Patrick. The big challenge for me when I look at this team is, can they have sustained success at the quarterback position? Braylon Braxton, the redshirt sophomore, is expected to be the guy there under center. We'll see how well he performs. They bring in Braylon Presley from Oklahoma State. I think should be a good addition for them in the backfield. But again, this is a league right now when you look at them. Some opportunities present themselves in the American Conference. Not that they're going to win the league, but they can be a competitive team for sure.
They won five games last year. You mentioned Braxton. Davis Brin, who was the starter, interestingly enough, he's now Georgia Southern, who we're going to talk about in just a little bit. But Braxton threw 10 touchdown passes, so a little experience. The offensive line was terrible. They do have three solid backs in the backfield. It was a bad year last year for the defense. But it's a team that won five games last year. I'll get you set up on the regular season win total this year for Wilson in year one at Tulsa. Big guy, your expectations?
So I like Kevin Wilson. Like, I know he was at Indiana. He was also at Ohio State as a coordinator. Like, I like him. He has a really good personality. I understand why players want to play for him. I think this is a sneaky, cool spot for him to be because you can kind of pick and find enough offensive pieces to open it up at Tulsa and be a fun offense. I think this is a super fun spot for him to be. I'm really intrigued to see what he does. I mean, you mentioned Montgomery was there. Blankenship won there. Todd Graham, who was a psychopath, won there.
Todd Graham's a buster.
He was a weird guy. His dream job was Arizona State, by the way. When he took Arizona State, he said, this was my quote-unquote dream job. It is nobody's dream job.
I disagree with you. We talked about Arizona State the other day. Guys, I think Arizona State should be a competitor in the Big 12 every year.
They should be, but it shouldn't be your dream job. Your dream job should be a place where you can win.
But also, Todd Graham is Todd Graham. Yeah. Todd Graham stinks.
By the way, do either of you have a wristband on today?
But also, he wore that like old Navy headset, like he was like he was in NSYNC.
Excuse me, can you check in the back if we've got a player?
He's Lance Bass. Like, take it easy, Todd Graham. And also, he flipped Arizona State to Hawaii. Like he failed. Now, it's not necessarily a step upward as far as program and recognition, but it's a pretty good gig to be on the island, and he failed there. He's Todd Graham.
No, and he also, you forgot to mention the Johnny Unitas haircut to go with it. He might as well have had some black high tops.
Hey, my man was high and tight. What was that? That's a good point. It was so spiky, but so tight.
But my point is, even he won there.
Like, they use a protractor to cut his hair. You know what I'm saying? Like, everything was lined up perfectly. Todd Graham stinks.
But he won at Tulsa. That proves my point, right? Like, you can win at Tulsa if you just do things the right way. I think this is a good spot for a guy like Kevin Wilson. Like I said, great personality, fun guy, and he's an offensive mind.
Oh, wait.
Protractor.
I'm so happy this show devolved into bombing on Todd Graham. He was so annoying on the sidelines,
so
too. Like, you could tell nobody respected him.
But by the way,
at all. Players, coaches, nobody.
The 2 to 3 wristbands per arm. I mean, come on, man.
Also, real quick, they're at Washington, they have Oklahoma, and then they're at Tulane. Those are brutal three games.
Yeah, 4.5. I think there's too many parts moving here for an immediate jump. They won 5 games last year. The win total's 4.5. I would not go over that. And again, if you're wearing wristbands and your name isn't Dusty Baker, chill out, okay? that's all I'm saying. Somehow D-Bake makes it work, and it's weird. But he's Dusty Baker. Todd Graham cannot pull it off.
In pickup basketball, the best thing that can happen is the guy wearing wristbands wants to guard you.
Yo, that military cut was fresh, though.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, Brock Vereen's going to hang out with us here in just a bit on Sharp Money, but a good opportunity to let you know, coming up next Tuesday, August 22nd, legendary sports bettor Billy Walters. He sat down with Brent Musburger, two legends, for an exclusive interview, and the only place to see it is on VSiN. Billy reveals his systems for betting the NFL, shares some unbelievable betting stories, and gives the details on Phil Mickelson's gambling, including trying to bet on an event he was playing in. Check out the interview Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, only on VSiN. That's going to be awesome. So will this. Brock Vereen joins us, Big Ten Network. My man is hustling. Big Ten Network analyst, of course, the former Minnesota and NFL DB. You can also check out Mr. Vereen on the other pregame show on CBS Sports. You can hear him on Big Ten Radio for Sirius XM. You're hustling, Brock. Nice to see you.
Trying, man. I'm newly married, so the first rule of marriage is leave your wife alone, give her all the space she needs before she realizes the mistake she made. So I got to be on the road at all times.
That's not fair. When did you get married? Congratulations.
Thank you. Got married. This is off to a bad start. Almost 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. Wait, let's start over. 3, 2, 1. Congratulations. When'd you get married?
Thank you. Okay. The best day of my life was almost 3 weeks ago.
That's what I was waiting for, Brock Vereen. Let's start here because we got you for two segments and excited to talk to you, not just about the Big Ten. We'll talk about, of course, the NFL as well. Can we talk about the transition? What I find fascinating, Brock, is somebody like you who, once you move from one phase of life into another phase of life, you're so young. That's what an athlete does. They kind of start over so young. Did you always know broadcast was going to be next after your football career?
100%. I was fortunate enough to very luckily land a summer internship between my junior and senior year at Minnesota with NFL Network. And I grew up on Stuart Scott, and he was my idol. And I thought that's what I wanted to do. But after that internship, I said, this is exactly what I'm going to do. So I knew when the playing days were over, that's exactly where I was headed.
Brock, is it a tough challenge at some point in time? The one great thing about football is it kind of comes to an abrupt end, so you got to move on. You don't have to toil in the minors like so many people do in baseball. But at the same time, how difficult is it to come to that realization like, hey, all right, it's probably time to go in a different direction?
It was easier for me then than it would be now. You got the XFL, the USFL, and a lot of guys, it's going to be harder to move on because there's so many different opportunities than I had. I would say that you have this thinking of, oh, I'm going to have the Kobe Bryant send off. I'm going to go into my final year knowing it's my final year and I'm going to cherish every moment. It happens like that for some, but for most people, you wake up one morning and you say, yeah, I've done what I wanted to do and I'm ready for the next chapter. And that's how it was for me.
Brock Vereen joins us here, Sharp Money. We'll get into the Big Ten and also talk some NFL with Brock. Let's start with your alma mater in Minnesota. PJ Fleck, has he been, you know, oftentimes a new coach will come in and whether or not they reach to the past to kind of bring some of the older athletes in to the program, has he been like that as far as a bridge?
1,000%, man. I could call up that program right now and say, hey, can I get 50 sweatshirts? And they would send them without even asking why I would ever need 50 sweatshirts in Los Angeles. They are so in tune with what their former players are doing, both guys who are still killing it in the NFL or have moved on to media or to law school or whatever it may be. He's done a great job bridging the old and the new.
Brock, can you reduce that number to 3?
I got you guys covered. Don't worry.
I appreciate that.
We need some swag.
Yeah, we absolutely. I'll rock the. Listen, I went to Ohio State. I got no shame in my game. I will rock the M for Minnesota. I got no problem with that. I actually thought they got rid of Glenn Mason at the wrong time. I know it was a little bit before your time, but that's another story. When you look at the Big Ten right now, let's stay in the Big Ten West a little bit. PJ Fleck brings in an energy and an enthusiasm to the program. I loved Mohamed Ibrahim at the tailback position, but can this team replace that quality of running back and on the offensive side of the ball, what we saw to Tanner Morgan, and continue to take that step forward? Because there's no team that's elite offensively in that division.
Not at all. And Minnesota's going to take a huge, We'll call it risk right now. We'll call it a leap if it proves itself successful. They have a new quarterback, Ethan Kaliak-Manis. He's there to do one thing, and it's throw the ball. He's tall. He's big. He has a cannon for an arm. And I know it defies all logic of anyone who has watched Minnesota football for the past decade or so. They're going to be a throw first team. They have a young wide receiver group, but a proven one and an eager one. They have the offensive line. They have the defense to back them up for those early growing pains, which are probably going to be expected, but they're going to be chucking the football. In regards to replacing Mo, you can't replace a guy who can carry the ball 40 times a game, have 300 yards and 50 touchdowns. There's only one of those, but what they do have is a stable of backs now, and they haven't had a stable since Mo has been there. So it's going to be new, but there's going to be some fresh faces who are eager, and they have the toughest schedule in all of college football, I believe. I don't know what the expectations are going to be with in-house, but I promise you they're going to be fighting every week.
Brock Vereen joins us here. Sharp Money out west. The favorites are going to be Wisconsin. Fickell comes in. Curious what you think about the hire and the fit, Luke Fickell, there at Madison. And what do you think about the team this year?
if you asked me who was going to be in the best position going forward in the West, I would say Wisconsin without question because of Luke Fickell. He's a proven guy. He can recruit his tail off. It's a no-brainer. I am shocked how much momentum they are gaining in year one. It takes a lot to completely change the identity of an entire program. I mean, it doesn't happen often, right? Normally, a school has their identity, what they want to do. They fire a coach or it moves on. They bring in somebody who kind of fits the bill. And that's not the case here. Quite honestly, the most recent example I could think of is Georgia Tech, right? When Paul Johnson stepped down and they got rid of the triple option and it was ugly. It was unwatchable because it takes a lot of time to rebrand the entire identity of an offense. People are riding with Wisconsin. Do I feel they will be good in the future? Absolutely. I feel the West will be theirs to lose from maybe 2025 onward. I have a tough time believing that you can just implement an air raid into a team that usually has three or four tight ends on the field at one time.
Brock, you're a guy that grew up in California, went to school in Minnesota. How much of a difference does it make for a coach like Luke Fickell? Born and raised state of Ohio, played at Ohio State, coached at Cincinnati, coached with the Buckeyes. Now he goes to Wisconsin. Does that mean that much from a recruiting standpoint? We talked about Barry Odom at UNLV, doesn't have any West Coast ties, or do we sometimes from a media perspective make a larger deal out of it than it truly is?
A much larger deal, especially in the past year. I mean, one with NIL, yeah, I'll go play wherever if you're going to set me up financially for the future. And two, I mean, if you go to Oregon, you think you're going to play West Coast ball. Oh, well, I guess we're playing in Rutgers next week, right? It's the nationalization of this and it's the NIL. It doesn't matter. Quite honestly, I would argue that some of the Wisconsins and Ohio States actually get stronger because now they can go into California where they could usually they could get some of the top guys if they were going to give them a starting spot or if they were a five-star guy. Now they can snag three stars, four stars right under the noses of a USC, UCLA because they can say, hey, we understand that you want to stay West Coast. You want to do all this. Well, you can still be a West Coast guy. You can still see your family, but you can come out here to Wisconsin where we send guys to the NFL. So I feel it benefits them tremendously.
Brock, I have to ask you, Brock Vereen joining us here on Sharp Money. So growing up in Michigan, I always said I want to move to California because it just seems cool and it also seems very warm and Michigan is cold and damp and gray. You grew up differently. You said, I can't wait to get to Minnesota. Why? Why did you attend Minnesota? I just want to know the story.
It's so funny. So the Big Ten Network launched my freshman year in high school. And when I would get out of Saturday practice, out of a Friday game, I would turn on the TV and the first game on would always be that first Big Ten kickoff. Yeah. So I fell in love with Michigan and Michigan State. I knew immediately if I got a Big Ten offer, that's where I'm going. No questions asked. I was committed to Stanford. Let's be honest, sitting your mom down and saying, I'm going to decommit from Stanford to go to Minnesota is not an easy conversation, but she knew I meant it. And I also have an uncle, her brother, who lives in Minneapolis. I could walk to his apartment at any time. And I think it just felt like a way to get away from home, do something new while still having family close by.
Brock, we appreciate giving up potential billions you might have made with other classmates at Stanford to join us here this afternoon.
Yeah, I would have invented Snapchat. Yeah, I would have invented it, but it's all right. My life's going on another path.
Without a doubt. Brock Vereen, he's going to join us for another segment. Big Ten Network analyst, of course. You can hear him on Big Ten Radio, on Sirius XM as well. The other show on CBS for the NFL. When we come back, we'll talk to Brock about the NFL. And I should say, the newly and happily married Brock Vereen continues here on Sharp Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. There's the ring.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Power ratings, picks, previews, predictions, pros, and become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Get an all-access pass to our betting tools, betting splits, and the 2023 college football and NFL betting guides. Both the college football guide and our NFL betting guide will have you ready to turn a profit this year. The only way to get the guides and everything we offer is to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. You can do that at vsin.com/subscribe. Okay. Now I know, talking during the break to Brock Vereen, why he's a superstar in media. Amal Shah, I'm Patrick Maher, Dustin Sweetelson. What a great dude. You can see him with our buddy Adam Schein on CBS Sports, the other pregame show. Of course, you can watch him on the Big Ten Network as an analyst. And you can also check him out on SiriusXM, Big Ten Network as well. Former Minnesota and NFL DB joins us, Brock Vereen. Drafted by Chicago. So let's go there. I think the three of us on the show are high on the Bears this year, and it starts with Fields. Fields is interesting, Brock, because it's almost like people judged him for having a bit of a different personality, and then all of a sudden he turned a corner. Like, everybody's now riding with Justin Fields. Where are you on Fields and the Bears this year?
I'm high on Fields because while there's not many offenses in the NFL that he could excel in, he's in one that he can excel in, right? There were so many rumors this offseason, which probably never actually were true, of, well, you can't just pass up on a Bryce Young or a Stroud. No, he's in the offense that he will shine in. And I'm high on him. They're also in the NFC North. It's a mess. It's an absolute mess. Lions will probably win it. I don't know. It doesn't matter. No one from there is doing much in the playoffs. So he can learn. He can grow. It's not like he's in the AFC East where they're going to get pummeled week in and week out. I'm in on Fields, and I'm in on the Bears.
Brock, can you expand a little bit about what you just said there in terms of he's in an offense with Luke Getsy where he could succeed, whereas elsewhere you don't believe he may necessarily be as successful?
Absolutely. He's in an offense where, look, he's an NFL quarterback. He has to know schemes. He has to know when defenses are trying to trick him. He has to know when he needs to take whatever they're giving him, all of that. I'm not saying he's not a quarterback. I'm saying he's not a prototypical quarterback. And this offense is catered. They're easy reads. They get the balls to the athletes in space. Not too unlike Andy Reid's offense, where it's, hey, there's a designed play, but at the end of the day, we're just going to let Patrick Mahomes do what Patrick Mahomes does, right? The routes aren't very complicated. It's spread guys out. If there's no one there, we have a quarterback that's athletic enough to extend the play until somebody gets open and coverage shifts, or he can just take off running and run for 1,000 yards because he's Justin Fields.
Well put. Anthony Richardson was named the starter there in Indianapolis. Brock, he just turned 21 in May. He's one of 32 to do this now. There's going to be mistakes made, but maybe you can contextualize, what is it like taking that next step, and what is Richardson going to see as a young dude at the quarterback position?
I would be so excited for the development of Anthony Richardson if he had a running back who wanted to be there. He was in the perfect situation. A run first offense, a dominant defense. They've been banged up in previous years, but when they are cooking, obviously Gilmore isn't there anymore, but when they are cooking, the Colts defense is a top five defense. And now without the rushing attack, there's going to be a lot more on Anthony Richardson's shoulders. Will he be able to overcome it? Yes. It's just that his runway to take off just got significantly shorter if they cannot figure out the Jonathan Taylor situation. They're not loaded at wide receiver. Defense is still good, not top five, but still good. But that lack of rushing attack makes me worried that he's going to be the one running the football, which anytime a young quarterback is asked to run the ball too much, it gets scary. So I think he'll have an incredible career ahead of him, but I don't feel the success that he will have now without Jonathan Taylor will be anywhere near if he had Jonathan Taylor.
Brock, let's go to the Minnesota Vikings. They had a great year last year. Now their demise has been expected somewhat this year. When you look at Kirk Cousins and Justin Jefferson, just give me your perspective as a former defensive back as to what you think of Cousins as a quarterback and JJ as a receiver, and then where Minnesota winds up. Their season win total is at 8.5 this year,
which is shockingly low, yeah. Right? But if we go back to last year when they were heading into that wild card game versus the Giants, nobody was saying, oh, well, the Vikings are going to get this, right? I mean, if we go back to like week 16, 17, and 18 last season, everyone was kind of thinking, well, I hope we get the Vikings in the first round. Like that's not usually the case for a team that won so many regular season games that they had. And I'll answer both questions in one in a way, because Kirk Cousins is the ceiling of this team. And for all the criticism that Kirk Cousins gets, it's not his fault. His entire career, he has shown you, I will raise the floor of this franchise, but I also limit the ceiling. It's why he will play forever. Kirk Cousins could be 40 years old. He will likely still have a job because he's not terrible, but he doesn't have the ceiling of a Patrick Mahomes, of a guy who, you know what, fourth quarter, down seven, we're going to win this game no matter what, because that's our quarterback. So I don't blame Kirk Cousins for any of the criticism. He is who he is. He's not going to change. As far as Justin Jefferson, the question is, can you keep him happy? This is a guy who knows I have the ability to be one of the best to ever play this position. If Kirk Cousins is my quarterback, I'm not going to get to a Super Bowl. So they need to make a change at quarterback, or understand Justin Jefferson is going to have a temper here eventually.
Are you buying the hype on the Jets? They just signed Dalvin Cook. Breece Hall's coming back from the injury. Your boy Aaron Rodgers in at quarterback. The offensive line is mid. We don't know what we have as far as an offensive line, but the weapons are awesome. The defense should be great. Where are you on the Jets?
It's like you just said, the offensive line probably has, going back to the previous analogy, the lowest floor and also the highest ceiling. When everyone's healthy and if Becton can figure it out, they can be as good as anyone, but there's no depth and they're never healthy. Can Aaron Rodgers extend plays? Of course he can. Does he want to do that every single down? Absolutely not. The defense is what it is. If they even had a bad offense last year, they would have made the playoffs, but they had an atrocious offense. So they're going to make the playoffs. Will they win the AFC East? I feel it comes down to them or Miami. I don't see them winning the Super Bowl this year, but they will do enough to gain confidence. They can head into the offseason, free agency, trades, whatever, shore up that offensive line if it needs to be. I would say their Super Bowl chance is next year. I feel there's so many moving parts in year one. That AFC East schedule is brutal. That NFC East matchup is brutal. I'm going to give them 2 years. This year, they'll be good, but I can't say Super Bowl this year.
Brock, Carolina drafts Bryce Young. Tremendous talent, but size is a factor and a concern there. When you look at him, are you concerned about his durability for 17 games year in and year out?
I try not to look too much into preseason games, but if that is the effort that this offensive line is going to show that we saw in that very first preseason matchup, then yes, I'm worried. If they can figure out that offensive line and protect him, then no, I'm not worried. Miles Sanders is a dang good running back. He has some electricity out there at wide receiver, and that defense is not great, but they're pretty dang good at times. They will be fine, and if that offense can show better than they did, I have them winning the NFC South. I understand that the Falcons are exciting, but I'm hitching my wagon to Bryce Young and the Panthers if the offensive line can prove that they're not going to get their quarterback smoked every other play.
Before we say goodbye, let's stick with the quarterbacks. We're going to say that Mahomes is a given, Brock Vereen. Who are you drafting second to start a franchise with right now? If Mahomes is a given, all right, then who's next up for you? I know I'm putting you on the spot, but you can handle it. Who's next?
I hate this question so much. It's tough because the quarterback position has never been in a better spot. I'm going to go Justin Herbert, and I know people are high on him. Some people are a little tepid on him. The limits of Justin Herbert are at no fault of Justin Herbert. Trust me, that meltdown that happened against Jacksonville, that is not Justin Herbert. That is the Chargers who are being the Chargers and will always be the Chargers. I don't think Justin Herbert as a Charger will ever sniff a Super Bowl because the Chargers find a way to trip over themselves. But in regards to arm strength, in regards to athleticism, I'm going Justin Herbert. 1A, 1B, again, with Mahomes removed. 1B would be Lamar Jackson. I feel that athleticism is, it just can't be duplicated. Herbert first, or I guess second behind Mahomes. Lamar Jackson third.
You nailed it. See? You got it. And I don't disagree. If for me, like Jackson, I want to talk about Jackson coming up later in the show because I freaking love that dude. I think I'd go Burrow over Herbert. Amal, would you go Burrow or Herbert?
I'd go Burrow right now, but I had Herbert third on my list overall. I think Justin Herbert's upside is incredible.
Okay. Brock, love the conversation.
What I will say about Burrow, super quick, and I know we're running out of seconds here.
Please.
He's the jack of all trades, which I love, but the master of none. I want a master at something at the quarterback spot.
Just like you're a master at being married for 3 weeks. Brock Vereen. Of course, Big Ten Network analyst. You can see him on the other pregame show on CBS as well and hear him on SiriusXM. Thank you, Brock. Appreciate you.
Anytime.
Thank you.
Okay. What a great spot. What a great dude. Great personality. When we return, professional handicapper Scott Spreitzer joins us here on Sharp Money.